Let's pray together, and then we'll read our text. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost now help me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for all this good number. For all our friends in the internet audience, the radio audience, Lord, we are thankful for them. Pray, God, you bless the reading and the hearing of your word today. We pray, God, that you bless the Lord, exposition of the word today. Help me, give me your anointing power. And God, we do pray, Lord, for revival. Our Father, we know that, God, you can do it in spite of us. God, you can do it. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd move. And God, we acknowledge the need. Our Father, personal revival and church revival and national revival. And God, what an encouragement, what a blessing, a challenge to see, God, what you're doing there in Bulletin and West Virginia and other places and pockets across the country. I've heard reports of up in Ohio, their revival's going on there. And God, I want to thank you that, God, you're hearing and answering prayer and God's sending revival. God, breathe on us here. God, I pray that you just take over. Our Father, we have no interest other than just God getting glory. And I pray, God, that you'd get glory. God, that you'd send revival, rescue the perishing, draw people in. God, I pray God's people get on fire and stirred, excited, anticipating the return of our Lord. And God, you'd give a great harvest of souls. God, do that. And God, I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We do have several announcements and things we'll share shortly, but let me share with you this John 17. The Lord Jesus Christ prays this prayer prior to going into the garden where he prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." There he'll agonize, and great sweat, drops of black blood will fall from his brow in that garden. And he'll say, "God, Father, not my will, but thine be done." And you remember the story there. But here he prays this prayer just prior to that. And what a blessing it is to know that he prays for us. Now, on last Sunday, I shared some things with you here. There were seven requests that he makes for us that God's men ought to pray for their families and for their loved ones as well. Seven requests. This morning, I'm going to share with you seven other things from this passage of Scripture, and there are several other sevens in this one chapter. But I do want to read a little passage or lengthy passage of it this morning once again. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." Now, let me tell you something. We can't do a thing for God until God does something for us. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "You give me your glory, and then I'll glorify you." Now, he's God incarnate in human flesh. And if Jesus needed God the Father to do something for him to rightly give God the glory, then I've got to have God to do something in me and speak to me and do something in me before he can use me to be a blessing to anybody else. And so we want God to do something in all of our lives. And he said, verse number 2, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. That thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not for that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. I note several interesting things in this passage of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 19, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through that truth. I said a while ago, Jesus prayed and said, Father, if you give me your glory and I'll glorify you. And then he said in this passage of Scripture, I sanctify myself that they might be sanctified through that truth. What he's saying is this. He said, if the word of God's going to flow through me, I need to be sanctified. I need to be set apart for God. And when you're doing anything for God, you need to be set apart for God so that whatever God gives you can come through you clearly. When I preach the message on I shall come forth as gold, I emphasize the fact that gold, 100% gold, has absolutely zero resistance to power. It'll flow through it unrestricted. And it has no distortion when it's used in the receiving of signals and transmitting signals. There's no distortion there. And what he's saying is, Lord, I want the truth to come through me, not what I think, not what I feel. Now, he's teaching us a lesson here that you and I ought to be like that. But what really got my attention, I want to share with you seven things just real briefly this morning, is this passage of Scripture. Of course, he's mentioned here he's praying not just for them, but for us. And so this prayer and this context all relates to every believer, every saint of God. Look at verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. You know what the Great Commission is. Brother Brad, our young people just come back from up ministering in the mountains, doing that hands-on type ministry and being a witness for Christ. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we do that through our mission program, through all of our outreach efforts in radio and internet, and through the CD ministry and all those things and all the mission trips and getting out here in our community through the softball ministry, the baseball ministry, all the things that people do for the glory of God. That's all part of it. But I'm interested more here in this passage of Scripture. First of all, in this passage, he said, as you've sent me, so I've sent them. It speaks, first of all, of a sense of mission. Christ came into this world for a reason. Every person in this building is in this building for a reason. God created you and fashioned you and put you in this world for a reason. You have a mission. Jesus said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom. Jesus Christ had a mission in this world, and every individual has a mission. There's a purpose. Paul said, I have finished my course. He said, I've completed what God wanted me to do. Paul had a sense of mission. He knew that God had a plan for his life. He knew that God had some. And you have that sense of mission. Jesus Christ came with a sense of mission. And every person, man, woman, boy, girl, ought to be conscious of the fact that you're here for a reason. God's got you here for a reason. And in all of your living, and being a dad, being a mom, being a student, whatever it is, in all of that, God's got an overriding mission for you. You have a purpose in this world. But then I'm interested not only in that sense of mission, but in the method and the equipping of these people. How is it that he sent them? He said, you've sent me, and I've sent them the same way. And they were sent well equipped. I want to just quickly give you seven things that I note. As God sent the Son, he sent us. And Jesus Christ is sending us out like God the Father sent him. First of all, I would suggest to you that when we begin this 17th chapter, it said, these words spake Jesus, and he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father. Now, he is beginning a prayer, and this whole prayer is related to other people. He does ask God to give him glory. He does ask God to sanctify him, God the Father to sanctify him. But if you notice, every time it's in connection with his mission, that he might glorify the Father, that he might be a blessing to those that the Father's given to him. It is in sense of his mission. And so the first thing I'd say to you this is that Jesus Christ has sent me and you into the world under the canopy of his own prayers. Now, it's a wonderful thing to know that you're praying for me. Sammy Barber came to me and asked me, how was the revival? Brother Sammy, by the way, he and Carolyn married 28 years today. They slipped out a little bit early. I don't know if they're able to listen to us as they're traveling or not, but they've gone off for a few days for their 28th anniversary. But they married 28 years today. But he came up and asked me about the revival. Said he'd been praying for me. And I said, well, I said, we were on vacation. I wasn't in a revival. I said, 18 of our family went to revival. He said, well, if 18 of you went, you need to pray for anyway. And he was right about that. But I appreciate that. But, think about this. To know that people are praying for you, what a blessing. I contacted Tim during the week and asked him to pray. And he did. And I don't know if he shared anything with you or not. But thank you for all of you who pray for us. God's been so good. To know that people are praying, what a blessing that is. But think about this, that whatever God's mission is for your life, you're going out under the canopy of the prayer of the Son of God. I'm telling you to know, somebody writes to me, Dr. Bobby Carden sent us a wonderful note about camp meeting. And he said something about me and Regina being a blessing. And oh, what a blessing that old man is. But he always puts like this. And he said, I'm praying for you. And to know that Bobby Carden's praying for me and Wayne Warren and many of you, and you are the same way. You're praying for people and people are praying for you. But think about this. He sent them out under the canopy of the prayer of the Son of God. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says this, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And so every day of your life, 24/7, the Son of God, you're under the canopy of the prayer of the Son of God. What a way to go out every day, to know that he's praying for you. He's on your side. And if God be for us, who could be against us? And thank God for that. The first thing I noted this morning, as he sent them out, he sent them out under the canopy of his own prayers. But notice something else. The second thing I want to emphasize to you is this, and that is this, that God the Father sent him out confident of his relationship with the Father. He said, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with thee before the world was. Their relationship goes way back. And he's confident. Jesus Christ came into this world confident of his relationship with the Father. And Jesus Christ wants us to be always aware of the fact of who we are, who we are. And he said, here he starts off his prayer and he says, Father. And when the disciples said to him, teach us to pray. And he said, you pray like this, our Father, which art in heaven. He said, my Father is your Father. Boy, you think about that. You're not only under the canopy of the Son of God, but you're the child of the King of the universe, confident of that relationship. I mentioned to you about sevens. In this passage of scripture, notice what it says, if you will, please, in verse number 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You note that? Jesus said that God the Father gave us to the Father gave us to Jesus Christ. God gave us to Jesus Christ. Let's look a little further in this passage of scripture, not only in verse number 2, but would you look up at verse number 6. I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given to us eternal life. We've been born again. And listen, he said, you've given, but that's not the last one. Look at verse number 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me. Listen, we are a love gift. If you have a Scofield Bible, Dr. Scofield points this out. You and I are a love gift from God the Father to God the Son. What an amazing thing. Look it down a little bit further, please, if you would, in this passage of Scripture. I'll skip over and look at chapter number 24. Father, I will that thou also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory given. Seven times in this chapter, he says, Father, you have given them to me. I want you to know one thing. You are completely and perfectly His through the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're Heavenly Father. And He sends us out into whatever our mission is in life under the canopy of the love of the Lord, of the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, but in that wonderful relationship with the Father. Your Father knows what things you have need of before you ever ask Him. You have a Heavenly Father. Regardless where you are, you'll never be separated from Him. What a blessed thought to know that. But look a little bit further, if you will, please. He said this in the Word of God. He said, verse 8, I have given to them the words which thou gavest me. He sent them out in filled with the Word of God. He sent them out with the Word of God inside of them, covered by His prayer, going out, confident in the relationship with the Father, and armed with the Word of God. Hey, listen, it's not me. It's the Word of God. When Jesus came to fight the devil, the devil came to attack Jesus in the temptation hour, Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. The Word of God's quick and powerful. And He's equipped us with that wonderful Word of God. You don't have to say what you think. You don't have to be a great intellect. It's just simply the Word of God. And He's equipped us with the Word of God. Did you know that the Bible I've just preached from and the same truth that I preached, the same truth that the apostles preached, it's the same truth that every saint of God since the very beginning of the church age has preached? It's the Word of God. Matter of fact, it is the eternal Word of God forever settled in heaven. And we are armed with that. It is the truth. It is the Word of God. And it's quick and powerful. I'm working on a message about how does the Word work? You ever thought about that? Bible says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How does that work? Exactly how does that work? How is it that the Word of God builds faith? How is it that the Word of God can keep you from sin? How is it that the Word of God is powerful, quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword? But we are armed with that. He talks about going out with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. My dear friend, He sent us out in the world, not with our opinion, but with the Word of God. We need to feed on the Word of God, be armed with the Word of God. Let me show you a fourth thing. He said in verse number 22 of this passage of Scripture again, and he says and the glory that thou gavest me, I have given to them. He gives us the glory of God. And glory of God is something we don't know a great deal about. It's a lot of people don't quite understand. What's it mean? Is it an ecstatic feeling? Is it just a tingling? Is it when you have goosebumps up and down your back, the glory of God? What is the glory of God? Well, I found this. Look over verse 5 in this same chapter. And he said, and now, Holy Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. What is that glory of God he's talking about? That he said that we go out into the world with a sense of mission, under the canopy of the prayers of the Son of God, in a wonderful relationship with God as our Heavenly Father, armed with the Word of God. And now he says we have the glory of God. What is it? It says it here in this passage of Scripture. It is God Himself. Have you ever heard anybody make this statement? You can really see God in her. You can really see God in him. The Bible says of those early disciples that when they looked at Peter, James, and John, they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. They marveled and took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. There was something different about them. There was something different about their person. It wasn't just not their personality, not just their demeanor, but it was something unique about them. It was the presence of God. And when he talked about going out, he sent them out with the glory of God on them. He's talking about with the presence of God on them himself. God's with them. And the presence of God's there where they are. My dear friend, that's not unique for preachers or missionaries. is for you. Every man, woman, boy, and girl on the sound of my voice this morning, as the Father sent me, so send I you. He said, I'm sending you out the same way with the glory of God, which is in fact the very presence of God in us. And then notice in verse number 23 in this passage of scripture that I read, he said this amazing statement once again, I in them and thou in me, that I may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. He has a desire for the world to know that we're loved of God, to experience that love of God. And my dear friend, he sent them out embraced in the love of God. I want you to know God loves you. If you can live your life and live your mission in life, understanding this one thing, he really does love you. He really does care for you. And he loves you this much. He loves you as much as Jesus, as he loves Jesus. What an amazing thing. When the devil begins to jump on you and beat you up over every little thing, you can just say this. I can tell you one thing. God loves me as much as he loves his own son. Is it because I deserve it? No. But he does. He loves us that much. But he sent them out with that awareness and that sanctifying love, that presence of God on them, that love of God demonstrated in their life, that love of Christ that kept their hearts and kept themselves in the love of God. That love's a wonderful thing. But he sent them out, not only embraced in the love of God, but he sent them out empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Matthew, where he gives that great commission, he said, go into all the world. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore. He told them to tear in Jerusalem to be endued with power, the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Not I, but Christ liveth in me, Paul said. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It is the person of the Holy Spirit of God. You know how many people he's inside of here this morning? Every one of you saved. The Bible said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, it's none of his. Every person in here who's saved, the Holy Spirit of God came into you crying, Abba, Father. He sent them out empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. What you can't do, he can do through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And then lastly, he sent them out in this way. He sent them out as pilgrims headed to another land. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, but you and I know where we're going. But we still have that pilgrim character. We are citizens of heaven. And our mission is here to come into this world, to finish our course, to do what he wants us to do. But we are always a stranger and a pilgrim. I like living where I'm living at. I like the church that God's let me pastor. I don't have any desire to live anywhere else or go anywhere else. And my wife's not going to leave even if I do. So she's already told me that. So I probably won't go anywhere. But listen, the truth of the matter is, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And my dear friend, he sent them out with this sense of mission, but he sent them out with the fact that the consciousness that they were strangers and pilgrims in this world, that this is not their final home. They're not home yet. My dear friend, it's not over yet. And what you may not have what everybody else has. You may experience all kind of things. But now, dear friend, listen, you have that pilgrim character in you that you're traveling somewhere. The children of Israel wandered about in the desert for 40 years. But my dear friend, you and I are pilgrims. Pilgrims are headed somewhere. We're here, strangers and pilgrims down here now. But thank God we're headed somewhere. And he sent them out with that awareness that this is not the end. We'll be faithful. We'll serve God. The world will hate us. They may not respond to our message, but we've come to do a mission. We've come to do what God wants us to do. He's well equipped us with all these seven things I've mentioned to you. And finally, he put this in our heart. Our home is in heaven. You know, it's a strange thing that pastored in all these years. It's the same if you live in Georgia or Florida or North Carolina. So many dear saints that I've known who over the years, their body deteriorates. They get very weak. Brother J.B. Dale, I think about some of our dear saints of God, love God, walk with God, whose bodies just wore out on them. And invariably there comes a point in time when they say something like this, I'm just tired. and I'm ready to go home. God put that down deep inside of us from the time we were born again, that this is not our home. I had some precious friends. I pastored in Reidsville, North Carolina, Sister Joyce and Gilbert Joyce. Brother Gilbert had got really, really sick, and he had some dementia, and they had him, got him well enough to go home. And I had visited with him about every day in the hospital there, and Ms. Joyce was so anxious about getting him back home because she was old too, and it was hard for her to be up there. And so she was so excited they let him go home. She called me in the middle of that night and wanted me to come over there. And I said, "Ms. Joyce, what's wrong?" She said, "It's Gilbert, it's Gilbert." I said, "Is it all right?" She said, "Please come, preacher." And I went, and I got over there, and she broke down when I got there. She said, "Preacher, he's so disoriented, he don't know where he's at." And she said, "I wanted to get home so bad, but he just keeps right on saying, I want to go home, I want to go home." And I went into the bedroom where he was at and spoke to him. Of course, he's laying there on the bed. And I didn't know exactly what I was going to say. And he looked at me and said, "Preacher, I want to go home." And Sister Joyce said, "Gilbert, you are at home. You are at home." He looked at me and he said, "Preacher, I want to go home." And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost of God moved across my heart. And I said, Sister Joyce, he knows exactly where his body's at. But this ain't where he wants to be. I said, "Gilbert, you're talking about your real home. You're talking about heaven, ain't you?" He said, "Preacher, I want to go to heaven. I want to go home." Well, listen, we cried together, we prayed. Before the sun came up in Reidsville, North Carolina, he's in another land where the sun never sets. God answered his prayer, and he let him go home. God sent us into this world with a mission, but he sent us with a pilgrim character that this is not our home. We're just a passing through. "As the Father sent me," he said, "I'm sending you." Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, God, help us to live our lives confidently, knowing that we are under the canopy of the prayers of the Son of God, our great high priest, knowing that we have an inseparable relationship with God the Father, knowing our Father that, Lord, that you have given us your own self, the glory of God in us, to live in us and be manifest through us. God, you have empowered us with the person of the Holy Spirit of God. You have armed us with the Word of God that we might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work through your Word. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, God, that you'd help us to know how much you love us. There'll be days that we don't feel loved by our family. There'll be days we don't feel loved by our friends. There'll be days that we may not care even love ourselves. But God, I pray you'd always help us to be conscious of the fact that nothing affects your love for us, that you love us with an everlasting love. And God, I am sure glad that this world is not our home. If in this life only we had hope in Christ, we'd all men most miserable. But God, I'm glad that, God, you put in us a pilgrim character, that, God, you equipped us with the reality that this is not the end. This is just a mission field. And Lord, soon we'll get to go home and be with you for all eternity. I pray, God, that not one man, a woman, a boy, a girl would leave this building today not knowing for sure that heaven was their home. That, Lord, if they died today, that they'd go to heaven. Our Father, I pray for this precious family and, Lord, of Katie Lee. And God, I pray you'd minister grace to them. I pray, God, that you'd help them. Lord, we don't understand why things happen like this, but God, to know that she trusted you as Savior and Lord, we do know that heaven is her home. Now, Father, we're glad that, Lord, that that's not the end for this family. Now, Father, there'll be a glad reunion day one day. But God, I know it's awful hard on the family right now, but God, give them special grace. And our Father, we've got a lot of loved ones around, church family members whose loved ones have gone on to be with the Lord just recent days. And God, I pray, God, you'd minister grace to all of them. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to fulfill our mission, And that is that, Father, there are some around us that we'll meet, that we'll come on, and God, you'll lead us to. That, God, you're willing, not willing that they would perish, that they, you want them to be saved too. God, do send revival that we might see a great harvest of souls. I want us to stand together for a few minutes, and Brad's going to take the rest of the service. I don't know what you need to do, but we're going to give you just a few minutes right here. We're going to finish out with a little bit of some more singing and everything. We'll let you go right on time, but I want you to know this morning that God, the Holy Ghost, spoke to your heart. You need to respond to Him. I'm working on that message about how does the Word work. I don't know if you noticed in that verse number 8, He said, I have given your Word. They received your Word. They believed your Word. And you need to respond to the Word of God. Be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. Sometimes you lose sense of your mission in the world, that God's got a purpose for you, got a plan for you. Got young people who graduated from high school, some from college, some planning marriages. You may be making career changes in your own life. Some of you may be building a new home. Oh, that's all important. Nothing wrong with any of that. But we also must always keep in mind our sense of mission, that we are here for a purpose, and that is to glorify God. And I pray God help us to do that. Always be very thankful for what He gives us and make sure that everybody else around us knows that He's given us everything we've got. I don't know what you need to do, but if you need to come get around this old-fashioned altar, I want you to come. If you need somebody to pray with you, I'll pray with you. If you're lost, you need to be saved today. Most of all, we'd love to see you saved.